You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, April 14th, 2010. This is episode 127, Martin and Sally's first video. Beautiful organ at Martin Luther College, along with the timpani, as you can hear. This is Martin Spriggs, and we're back with another episode of Wells Tech, the Wells Tech Podcast. I'm joined by Sally, and Sally, you and I were together over at Martin Luther College to hear that beautiful new organ and to see the Chapel of the Christ that they dedicated last weekend.
That's right, Martin. What an exciting weekend it was. I told my sons, you know, you'll remember this and you'll be telling your children and grandchildren about being here on this day. It was certainly a wonderful thing to be a part of. And that music was fantastic in person. I hope we conveyed just a little bit of the excitement that was a part of that worship service.
And that was that the intro to the evening worship service, or was that earlier?
Actually, that was from the dedication worship service. I actually got that recording from Sunday's dedication.
Right off of their Ustream feed. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yep. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit to lead off the show, since both you and I were up there. We were streaming it, and you had a child singing in a youth choir, right?
That's right. It was really neat and great opportunity for them on Saturday morning to sing. Probably about 40 voices that sang and you talk about beautiful. It was wonderful to hear those young voices singing in the chapel as well.
Yep. So maybe before we jump into the technology that we saw there, which is kind of the reason that we did our first video interview and Sally's introduction into the short film industry. What were your impressions overall of the chapel itself, regardless of the technology?
I think, you know, the thing that hits you right off the bat is just the worshipful environment. Everything about it, all the symbolism that's a part of it is just, it gets you, it cuts to the heart. It's really a place of worship and something that we can be proud, you know, to go there to give glory to God.
Yep. Two things struck me, just outside of the technology that we'll talk about in a minute. One was just the size. You know, I wasn't expecting to see a facility, and it doesn't look that big from the outside, but once you're in with the vaulted ceilings and just the, you know, the row upon row of seating that'll seat well over, I understand, 1,000 people, just kind of an awesome sight. You know, and then when you see all those seats filled, as we did on the Saturday night service, and then have all those people singing, it's just kind of on a grand scale that you don't see very often. You almost think back to filled churches in Europe, you know, these big, huge cathedrals that'll seat thousands and thousands of people. And then you throw in the acoustics that are just tremendous there, and you don't hear congregational singing like that just every day.
No, definitely contributed to some chill bump moments for me, Martin. I don't know about you, but when those choirs sang, when they filled up that choir loft, which seats over 200, I believe, with all the different Martin Luther College choirs combined, you know, that just gave you the anticipation of something good to come. And they definitely delivered. It was just an awesome worship experience.
Yep. And the second thing that struck me was the attention to detail. You know, as you look through, and I think there's still there's still some details to be worked out. But as you think through all the architecture and the acoustics and the seating and everything that's part of the package, you can tell that this was well thought out. You know, from the from the smallest detail to the largest, I think they've done a nice job. And but the students there will certainly enjoy worshiping there and be a great experience for them.
Yeah, I really appreciated the fact that they gave us all those details in the service folder,
right,
that was for the dedication, so you could read about the nuances of that went into the pipe organ and how they had the Steinway piano restored, the original Steinway that had been there since the early 1900s. And, you know, obviously the detail in the altar and the triptych and all the parts of worship were just stunning.
Mm-hmm. Then moving on to the technology that we saw there, and I think there's even more to come. But what struck you about the technology as you looked things over? And we'll point people to the interview that we did here in a second. But what were your thoughts, Sally?
Yeah, just really enjoyed having the chance to talk with the guys involved with the technology, and as you listen to the interview, you'll see that their number one priority was clarity of the spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I sat there in the auditorium with 1,000 other people, and I was able to hear and be connected with the word just as clearly as in my small congregation in Sleepy Eye, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they hit a home run with that as far as the acoustics and, you know, the ability to pick up everything that needs to be picked up and keep it all balanced correctly. I was very, very impressed.
Yep. And as you'll see in the interview and here in the interview, they had an eye toward the web and the internet and streaming. And they've been streaming for about a month. They're streaming all their chapel services. And, of course, we streamed on Saturday night, and they streamed themselves on Sunday. They're all set up to pipe this out on a regular basis, and they have a page on ustream.tv, which we've talked about in the past, and they have information on Facebook about their streaming schedule. And I think that's a great way to connect, especially on a college campus, connect people to the campus, connect parents to students, grandparents to students, friends and alumni to the campus by being able to tune in and watch in a nice fashion with good audio, with good video, what's going on in that chapel.
Yep, I think you'll even be impressed with the acoustics when you watch it on Ustream, and that's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got very good sound quality in their live stream as well.
Yep. So where can everybody find? We're not going to play the interview in the podcast here. We're going to actually ask you to go online at your leisure and play a video interview. Sally is the on-screen talent, as it were, and I actually shoved her the microphone and said, "Here, you do this, and I'll be behind the camera." And you were excited to do that.
Oh boy, I was really excited, Martin. I think I sent you an email later that said, "What just happened?" But you know what? It was a great experience. I think I confirmed that I have a face for radio.
No. You did a nice job.
A lot of fun. Great group of guys to speak with. We had the opportunity to talk with Professor John Nolte,
mm-hmm.
who is the faculty sponsor of the audio video group at Martin Luther College. A couple of the students joined us for the interview, as well as Dave
Hosbach.
Mm-hmm. Hosbach, that's right. I didn't want to mispronounce it.
Right.
Who was very involved in the design of all of the equipment that went into the chapel. And we techies at heart got to actually get on camera video of all the different equipment. It'll make your heart leap when you see it. I think they, you know, built for the future. They had a good design and purchased some quality equipment. So you'll want to check out that video.
And don't expect any great production quality in the video. It was just me with my handheld camera, and I published it through just the simple tools available to me in Movie Maker on the Windows platform. It was really a seamless process. We'll let me share some of that too as we move forward, how we put all that together. But take a look at the video, and if you've got any feedback, give us that. But I think just hearing, from the people involved, and you could see, at least I could see, the excitement, in their responses, and the facial expressions, and just the grandeur of the day, and their part in it was really cool.
You know, Martin, I have a neat story to share, kind of hearkening back to our final web training that we just wrapped up. And one of the opportunities my class had as we were on campus at Martin Luther College was to get an early preview. We got to go in the chapel one of the days that we were there for class. And I had an email last week from one of the people that attended the class who said, are you going to be at the dedication? I'm bringing my wife back, because we got to go on that tour. I just had to bring her to see this chapel, and I think that's the wonderful benefit of having such a beautiful facility is that all of Wells has ownership of that facility and should make use of it and worship there and be part of the the worship opportunities that mm-hmm. go on there. And just a really neat ripple effect of our final web class, actually, to introduce somebody that probably wouldn't have normally attended the dedication service, but he was there and brought his wife along to see as well.
Very cool. I like that. All right. So I'm assuming that they can go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and the video, I think, should be embedded there.
Yep, you won't want to miss it.
For your viewing pleasure.
First time for Wells Tech to have video. We also have a great photo collage that we put together. So if you haven't been to the chapel and you want to see a combination of different pictures from different angles, you can check that out as well. And it's small on the Wells Tech site, but you can click on it and blow it up to see it quite a bit larger and look at the details of all the chapel design.
Very good. So head on over to wellstech.wells.net to see all that good stuff. Let's move on to our ministry resources section. And this is a resource that I happened here in the center office. A number of us take turns at doing chapel, and I'm up tomorrow to do chapel. And used a tool that was recommended about a year, was it a year and a half ago, August of 2008, by Guy Marquardt, a website called Biblos, B-I-B-L-O-S. And I believe is it Biblos.com? Let me double check here. Yeah, Biblos.com. And one thing I liked about it was It's basically the Bible, but all the parallel translations are available on the same page, along with cross-references to other sections of Scripture. They have commentary, they have the Greek, the Hebrew, they have lexicons, they have what's called an interlinear version. Those of you that are in the pastoral ministry, I'm sure have used interlinears before. That's basically the translation along with the Greek or the Hebrew, which is a great tool. They have, I don't know how many versions they have of the Bible here. You can do full searches. You can see things by verse, by chapter, by book. There's slides that they have. There's maps. Done a nice job. I don't know the history behind Biblos, why it came into being, but I certainly enjoyed using it as a resource. So that is, I think, a usable resource for both pastor, teacher, or layperson, anybody involved with Bible study or preparing lessons, those kinds of things, just wants to do a little bit of research, Biblos.com. Sally, have you been to that site before? Have you used that?
I remember us talking about it back in August of 2008, but I haven't been a user, mm-hmm. but I could see definite uses in a projected Bible class setting so
right.
that you could bring up these resources and share them with a wider audience.
Yep. It's kind of interesting to look at parallel translations sometimes as you're doing a little bit of study and see the different flavors, different variations, different words that are used that maybe bring out a little bit more of the meaning rather than the very familiar NIV. There are other translations that have a little bit different take and maybe give a little bit fuller meaning. So it's I think it's a great resource and free. So if you don't want to spend the money on, let's say, Lugus that we've talked about in the past, or the Glow Bible, which we've also talked about, this is a great free online resource, I think, that would come in handy.
A great addition to our ministry resource page. And just a reminder to everyone that we do compile all those ministry resources into a single page. So maybe if you haven't bookmarked that ministry resource page, now's the time to do that.
Absolutely. What do we have for news in tech? A lot of things actually going on in the Apple world, huh?
That's right. It's Apple news time. And we haven't talked, you know, for a couple of weeks, Martin, because of various schedule conflicts. And so kind of catching up a little bit in a couple of major Apple announcements and releases. First of all, the iPad was released, I believe, on April 3rd. I don't know. Were you in line to get an iPad that morning, Martin?
Oh, no. My son is drooling, though. He works at the Apple. That's got to be torture for him. He works at the Apple store. He sees, you know, hundreds of people coming in to buy, but he doesn't have $499 to get one himself, and they didn't give one away free to Apple employees. So he's trying to make a case to his mother and myself on, you know, why he should have an iPad and why we should get him one. So we haven't broken down yet. So he's iPad-less, but he's got glowing reviews on it himself.
Oh, I'm sure. I found lots of reviews on the web. I thought I'd link to one from geekbrief.tv, which is a video podcast. And Callie Lewis over there at Geek Brief did a great rundown on all the iPad features. So if you haven't seen one in action, you can watch this video. And she shows you lots of different features that are part of the iPad for those that are curious.
Speaking of Geek Brief, we interviewed long ago now Neil Campbell, who is Callie's husband.
And the man behind the
camera. Man behind the camera. So if you're not familiar with Geek Brief TV, take a look. They do a daily, week daily, I should say, little 3-minute video podcast about different things. And obviously the iPad was a hot topic. So she does a nice job.
Yep, Callie can talk really fast. She squeezes a lot in those 3 minutes. And it's a good way to just kind of stay up
catch
on technology.
Up. Yeah, absolutely.
Hear about what's going on and see her demonstrate it, because a lot of things she actually, you know, has in her hands and demonstrates for you. So good stuff. I just picked up on a tweet stream this morning from Pastor Phil Huebner down at Christ King in Palm Coast, Florida, and he is a Mac guy, true and true. He loves his Macs, and he was writing that they're considering buying iPads for their preschool. They're looking at putting them in the preschool rooms with learning applications for kids.
Interesting.
So we'll be following that, Pastor Huebner, and you'll have to give us feedback on how well that goes over with your preschool classrooms. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. And we'd love to hear from anybody else that's using an iPad for ministry purposes. What's your take on it? Has it got benefits that we all need to know about? We'd welcome your feedback on that.
Yep.
The other big announcement from Apple recently was that coming soon to the iPhone and iPod Touch is an operating system update. We're going to be at OS 4, I believe, this summer. They're going to release that. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of nice features that are coming along with that. We have a link to a blog of the live event where they actually announced OS 4 and demonstrated the different features. The big thing is multitasking. So you can have more than one thing open at once. You can run your Pandora internet radio and go and do something else, and it won't close when you switch to a different application. So lots of other things involved with the operating system update. And then there was a Q&A at the end of the session, which is real insightful as well, where Steve Jobs was there and they were asking him questions and things. So check out that blog if you're an iPhone or iPod Touch user, and see what's in the future.
Yep, very good. Moving on, picks of the week. Sally, your pick this week.
Well, I'm going to point our listeners to mapfling.com, mapfling.com. I had a need to put together a map of all our final web class participants. I wanted to see where they were coming from for class. And I found this website and was able to build a custom map. It uses Google Map technology, but basically you put in the different addresses, you know, as specific as you want to get. You could just put in a city, or you can actually put in a specific address, and it adds a map marker for that address. And when you're done, it gives you a URL, and you can share that map with all your various markers that you've built on the map. It's really simple to use. You don't have to sign up for an account or anything. And as long as the map is accessed at least once every 3 months, it doesn't get deleted. So just as long as you keep going to that URL at some point, it's kind of a running 3-month thing. It'll stay out there for your use. So I could see a lot of ministry uses for this. Obviously, I used it for our class just to give a visual of where we were all coming from. Maybe you would use it for your member addresses to put together a map for pastoral visits, or even to have a link on your private intranet site so that your members could see you know, where everyone lives via map. I could see, you know, if you're taking your kids on a field trip or a big long trip, you know, mapping out the trip using a tool like this.
Oh, sure.
Or having students use it in the classroom setting to map out places they've studied as they're maybe studying a different war or some kind of historical events and want to map out where those events took place. And of course, you know, as I mentioned, I used it with our final web class. So any kind of settings like that where you're pulling together people from different locations, it's just neat to give people that kind of context with a map that's all marked up with their different locations. So
yeah, recently at our church, we started a small group ministry, and this would have really come in handy as we were trying to organize who went where by at least somewhat by geography. So this tool would have really come in handy. I use this for our Milwaukee Final Web training class, but I really missed it for my Saginaw class that I conducted last week. That would have been interesting to show those students how far flung from distant reaches in Michigan that they came into Saginaw for. So cool tool and free.
Yep, love the price and love the fact that you don't have to have an account or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very nice. All right, my pick actually came out of my, I did a final web training class last week in Saginaw, as I mentioned, and on the last day, which is more for advanced students, we kind of focus on color management and the ability to change colors in final web templates and, you know, matching them to the logo, and we talked about you know, what hex colors were and web safe colors, and we've mentioned color, K-U-L-E-R.adobe.com before, where you could get a matching palette. But sometimes you're on a website or even on your own website and you want to know exactly what color something is so that you can plug that into a tool like Color or create a palette of complementary colors. And there are some great tools out there. One of them I have selected as my pick of the day called ColorPick. This works on in Internet Explorer. Well, actually works on most operating systems. So it works at the operating system level, but it'll work in the browser as well, where you basically start ColorPick, and then you hover your mouse, your pointer, over different areas of the screen, and it'll tell you exactly what color that is in hex code or RGB value or all kinds of different ways that you'd like to see it. And then once you hover over it, you hit Control-G, and it maps it to a palette. And I think you can map up to 16 of these colors so that you could actually get a whole palette, save the palette out, and then use it however you would desire, as if you're designing a web page or if you're putting together a logo or trying to you know, mix and match colors in you know, on a newsletter, whatever. This allows you to do that, and free to use, free to download, and very easy to use, very lightweight. You just start it when you need it, and then you can shut it down so it's not consuming memory or running in the background. Just a great resource for anybody who cares about color, and you know, they see something pleasing on the web and they want to remember what palette that was so that maybe they could reuse it on their website. ColorPick, and let me make sure I know the website here. It's Hang on here.
While you're looking, Martin, I'm playing. I downloaded it this morning, and it was a very small download. Very quick to download and install. And there's one feature called
Iconico, iconico.com. They've got other free tools and also paid for tools as well. They have something called Color Pro, which kind of takes that color pick to the next level. A magnifier, all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, and I was just going to mention the magnifier built into this. My eyes aren't what they used to be, and I have several programs where I can do a color pick kind of functionality and different graphic editors and things like that, and it's always a challenge to get exactly on the particular pixel that I want it to pick it up from. Mm-hmm. But with this color pick, it actually has a magnifying screen at the bottom, so you can look at exactly what you're picking at a pixel level, and you're sure you're getting on the color that you want to pick up. So that's an awesome feature there.
Yep, iconico.com, color pick, and one, as they say, 100% free. So
that's great.
If that's something
you have
a need for, yeah, go ahead and grab it. There are other Firefox extensions that do this, but this works across your entire screen if you're interested in that. So take a look.
Very good. Thank you, Martin.
Sure. Wells.net feature of the week. We don't always do this, but we wanted to make sure people were aware specifically of
our church locator, church and school locator. And you can find that at wellslocator.locatorsearch.com or from the wells.net homepage. There's a link in the top toolbar to the Wells locator. The reason that I wanted to specifically mention this today is because of kind of a pet peeve of mine, and that is looking in the church locator for a church or school website. If you do a search in the locator, you get all kinds of great information. Maybe I'll do a quick search on Sleepy Eye and see what comes up. We'll see how good we maintain our information from the church locator. When it comes up, you're going to find out about, obviously, the pastor and church contact information, the number of members, service times, maps, and things of that nature. But in addition, there's two features that are actually contributed to by the church office or church membership, and that is a specific link to the church website, and you get that with the church name. It's clickable and it'll open up a new window to the church website, and a picture of the church is available in a small thumbnail view right there on the page. And both of those things we're actually looking to the church to provide for us so that we can enhance the Wells locator search to be as good as it possibly can be. So I encourage everyone to go out and search the church locator, the Wells locator service, and make sure that your church website and your church picture are listed there. And if they aren't, you can simply use the Contact Us link at the top or the Submit a Photo link at the top of the Wells locator to submit that information so that it can be added to the Wells locator service.
Very good. Yeah, I use it all the time. I do quite a bit of traveling, and we went to church last, of course, you and I were up in New Ulm, but you probably went back to your own church, but I had to
find
church on the way home, and we went to St. Paul's in North Mankato, so we used the trusty locator search and drove right to it and enjoyed worship there. So make sure you take advantage of that, and also make sure that it maps or plots your address correctly as well. Community feedback, Sally. We've got a bunch. We've been saving it up because we haven't actually done a live, so to speak, broadcast in a couple weeks. So what do we have?
Oh, all kinds of great information being shared with us, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Going back a couple of weeks ago, you and Gail Potretz and Jim Grunwall collaborated on a show called Going to School on the Internet, and we had a couple of comments submitted based on that show. The first one was from Perry Lund, who's at Grace in Oskaloosa, Iowa, and he was just encouraging MLC to continue their efforts to offer online classes. He's taken four of them so far, so this is from an actual participant in the classes, and he says it's been very positive for him. One thing that he would recommend in any online class is having some real-time connections, chats, or even conference calls or things like that, where the students in the class actually get to interact with each other on a real-time mm-hmm. basis. So it's not all asynchronous.
Right.
And he just, wanted to offer some positive feedback and put in that plug for some real-time contact associated with those classes.
Very good.
We also heard from Joshua Shanick, who's at Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School, the technology coordinator there. And he was very happy to hear that Jim Grunwald recommended GIMP as his pick of the week that week. And he uses GIMP in his classes that he teaches at Kettle and has been doing so for the last 5 years. And he also wanted to point us to another program that he's used there at Kettle Moraine called Inkscape, and that's at inkscape.org. And he says GIMP specializes in raster graphics, photograph type images. Inkscape specializes in vector graphics, logos, straight line images, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So a great pick from Josh Shanick, and we'll be sure to include a link to that in our show notes.
Right, kind of the difference between Photoshop, if you're dealing in Adobe products, difference between Photoshop and Illustrator. Photoshop would be the bitmap tool. Illustrator would be the raster graphics tool, or vector graphics tool, sorry.
And I've become a real fan of aviary.com.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And
yep.
They have both of those types of tools represented in their arsenal.
All
as well.
Online, in fact. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool.
Next up, we heard from John Shoesmith out at Redeemer in Yakima, Washington. And I got a kick out of this. John sent me an email and said he had been checking out their website. We'll have to include a link to this in our show notes. But they have a location page on the Redeemer website where they actually, and we've talked about this before, have a Google map, Street View Google map embedded in their website, so you can actually rotate around and see their church from the Google car that drove by and took pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the funny story is John noticed a new icon on that Street View map, and it turned the Street View map into a 3D version. It was a little man, and he had on red and blue sunglasses, and if you clicked on him, he took the sunglasses off, and it displayed as normal.
Mm.
So he was just real excited about the capability of 3D coming to these Google Street View images, and he was really wondering how they did it, because, obviously these are taken flat images,
right,
and making this 3D view and everything.
Right.
So, is technology coming? Is there software out there for us to create our own 3D displays for the web? And I did a little research, and we had to snicker, because as it turns out, the 3D view was Google's April Fool's joke. And they did it on their Street View maps, and they did it in Google Books as well. And we found a funny blog post that talked about it. They actually left it up longer than just April 1st, though. So that's how John came across it, a little bit later, still there. But if you look now, it's not there anymore. So the little icon with the 3D guy is gone. But it was funny that he noticed it. And, as funny as it is, the technology's probably in the pipe, somewhere,
mm-hmm.
that we will be having more 3D graphics on the web and the capability of creating those as well. So
I've noticed,
a glimpse at our future.
Yeah, I've noticed that I'm seeing some commercials now for 3D TVs. So these are actually on the market. I don't know if there's any content for them, but you can now buy a 3D TV along with, I think you get the commercial I saw, and I forget if it was LG or Sony or one of those, you get two pairs of glasses, along mm-hmm. with it. I'm still not, thinking I'm going to sit there with the funky looking glasses, even in the privacy of my own home, until goes a little bit more mainstream. I'm not that cutting edge.
I've read about some of those glasses that they are like $75 a pair or something like
really?
That.
Yeah.
Tell me this. Have you seen any of the 3D movies that have come out? Avatar?
I saw Avatar. I've seen a number of. I saw Up in 3D, which was kind of cool.
We just saw How to Train Your Dragon in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it
I've
was.
Got my 3D glasses right here.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, is that right?
I was disappointed, though, because those they give you in the movie theater don't rely on that red-blue old-time 3D technology, so I couldn't see the Google Street View map with what I had.
So you stole those 3D glasses from the theater? Well, is that what you're saying?
They gave them to us.
They're giving them away? Are they? What are they made of? Are they plastic?
Yeah, they look like sunglasses.
No
black
kidding.
Sunglasses.
So yep. Can you take them back and view other movies?
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
No kidding. Okay. You know, they don't let you walk around here. They don't let you walk out with those. Maybe they're different, but I've been very impressed. I know some people can't use them because they just can't, for some reason, they're not wired up to their eyes aren't functioning correctly to see the 3D. So it's kind of a worthless, and you got to pay a couple extra bucks to see a 3D movie as well. But there are some movies, and I think Avatar would be one of them, where it's worth a couple extra bucks because it's a richer experience, I felt.
My boys would say having dragons fly at you off the screen was well
super
worth whatever.
Cool.
So, we had a lot of fun.
Okay,
so,
cool.
And I have to, before we leave John, mention two other things. Kudos to John for checking out his website. How many of us have been back to our location page to even notice if something's going on with our maps or whatever? You know, so a very good idea and a good suggestion for everyone. Maybe today's the day that you go and browse your website and look at what might need to be updated there. And then one other mention, John recently updated the Wells Tech Wiki with even more information about closed captioning. John is our resident closed captioning expert and has really made great progress there and paved new territory and has spent a tremendous amount of time putting together probably the best page on our whole wiki with great thorough instructions on how to get started with closed captioning yourself. So check it out if you're interested in closed captioning videos.
Yeah, I should mention, and it's probably long overdue, John maybe a month or so ago sent me a Facebook message asking about whether I knew of, you know, maybe a way to collect other closed captioners and maybe get a collection or a pool of these people who would be able to offer their services or in some way collaborate or talk about closed captioning. And I didn't respond, and maybe this will be my, you know, my opportunity to respond. I'm just not aware, and I guess this would be a shout out to anybody who's interested in that let's hook up and see if there's some good ministry things we can do in this area of closed captioning, because as John has testified, so to speak, there is certainly a benefit to it. They certainly saw a huge jump in the number of people who watched their sermons online just from the simple fact of closed captioning them. So there's definitely a need in a ministry here. So if anybody out there is either interested or has experience or would like to get involved, you know, let us know and we'll hook everybody up.
Very good. Next up, I wanted to focus on the Wells Tech Listserv. That's our email community. And recently, Gail Potretz asked some questions of the Listserv group, specifically about radio broadcast and also about online Bible study. And you'll want to hop over to the Wells Tech archive to see the responses that Gail got to those questions. Julie Duran, our Wells webmaster, provided some links to setting up radio broadcast, even using Skype as the vehicle to do live radio broadcast. And then myself and also Pastor John Gunther shared some different links to online Bible studies. Gail was trying to compile a list of all the different online Bible study resources available throughout Wells. And so information about that is posted in the Wells Tech Serve archives as well.
Very good. Yeah, please get involved in those online discussions. I've found the listserv to be extremely valuable. If you're not a member, it's really simple, and you don't really have to participate, but you can just kind of enjoy and reap the benefits of other technology discussions. And these are all, at least from my vantage point, discussions that are helpful to different people in ministry circumstances. So whether you're pastor, teacher, layperson interested in how technology can be used, that's really what the listserv is for, just to float ideas, to ask questions. And I think almost every case, a question that is asked is usually answered within even sometimes within the day, with some ideas or other resources, those kinds of things.
And, you know, it may not specifically meet your needs, but you can morph it into something based on the ideas that you get there. So it's all good stuff.
Yep.
Next up, I wanted to mention that Ryan Rosenthal wrote on our Facebook group page, and this harkens back to an episode we recorded back in February, Martin, where we talked about using YouTube in the classroom. And Ryan is a teacher at Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and he has got some great ideas for YouTube in the classroom. And he says, let's see, I use YouTube for literature videos. I found one based on a novel that I could find nowhere else. I also found a man who does some of the Shirley English jingles as raps. I use the videos for educational songs from They Might Be Giants. I go old school and show some of the Schoolhouse Rock videos. That's excellent stuff. I use it for music to play various pieces by the composers we are studying. I even showed the Bugs Bunny version of Wagner. I also use the videos that visually represent classical pieces. And I've used it to review states and capitals using a song from Animaniacs. So I'd say that's a pretty good first-person review of using YouTube in the classroom that shows its power and how it can add in the educational setting. So thanks very much for that feedback.
Speaking of Schoolhouse Rock, have you seen the latest ESPN commercial? They're using 3 is the magic number. Remember that one?
Yeah, I sure do.
They're advertising for their new site called ESPN3. It's kind of the replacement for ESPN 360. So kind of cool. Brings back a lot of memories. I'm sure you remember those days, Sally.
Oh, yeah. You can't miss Conjunction Junction and all that fun. Just a Bill. There's loads of good ones. Learned a lot.
Yep. Very good. Thanks, Ryan.
Our tweeting teacher, Jason Schmidt from Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska, shared a link to Taxedo, T-A-G-X-E-D-O, which is similar to Wordle, Martin. We've talked about Wordle before as being a text generator of a word cloud. So you paste in whatever text or link it to a web page, and it will generate a word cloud with the words from that text stream. Taxedo kind of takes Wordle to the next level. You can do shapes, and you can have a lot more control over your color and font and things like that. It's really fun to work with. It is done in Microsoft Silverlight, which is kind of their parallel to Adobe Flash, an online programming environment, basically. And so you'll have to download Silverlight if you don't have that on your computer already. And I guess Jason was a little concerned that it might not work on their Macs, but Perry Lund chimed in and said it worked fine on the Mac as well. So check out Taxedo. I know I showed it to my kids at school and they were ready to ditch Wordle. They were very excited about doing shapes. You can actually upload a picture and it puts the words in the shape of the picture. So just lots of functionality there. It's a lot of fun to work with.
Well, I'm going to have to try that. That sounds very neat. And it's free, I assume?
It is free. Okay. Yes, it is. So I had an email from Dick Kuhn, who is at Good Shepherd in China Grove, North Carolina. And I've actually been corresponding quite a bit with Mr. Kuhn lately because he's been working on a brand new website for their church. And he's narrowing down all the pieces that he's put together. And he wrote me recently asking about stock religious photography. Where can I get some images to use on my website? And you know, Martin, we've talked about that in various shows throughout the tenure of Wells Tech, but it was neat for me to kind of pull it all together in one email. Certainly if you're a Final Web user, we have a collection, a library of images that fit the Final Web template top bar area, and we can include a link to that in the show notes. We also have a Flickr page for our Wells.net streams component where we're storing our images on Flickr, and those images are able to be downloaded and reused on church and school websites. And then I included links in my email to Mr. Kuhn about various stock photography sites that I'm aware of online, as well as the worship media sites we've talked about throughout Wells Tech, Point of Power, Worship House Media, Centerline New Media, and Muddy River Media. So there are lots of options there.
Oh, yeah.
for finding good imagery or just getting ideas for how to perhaps produce your own, but looking at other people's for ideas and things. The last link I sent him, Martin, was to the Flickr Group Church Marketing Lab. And I know we've talked about that in previous episodes as well, but just a great Flickr group to go and get ideas of how people are putting together marketing materials for churches, and float your own out there if you want to get feedback.
Yep, there's the thing I like about the Church Marketing Lab is you can see just photos that aren't normally religious made into or turned into a component that could be used for promoting, you know, service theme, vacation Bible school, whatever, just by applying the appropriate image and verbiage, you know, on top of it. So it doesn't always, you don't always have to find that picture of Jesus or you know, the picture of the church steeple or something like that to put on your website. You can, I think, repurpose many different kinds of imagery and go from there.
And perhaps all you need is just a little spark for your own creativity to kick in. I always know what I like once I see it, but it's very hard for me to come up with it on my own, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
It's
yep.
good to have those kind of resources available.
Yep.
And last up, we wanted to include a mention of the other major Wells event that went on this past weekend, and that was the Wells Choral Fest, which was down in the Phoenix, Arizona area. Apparently, I think about 21 different Wells high schools participated in the Choral Fest. Mm-hmm. They had about 450 students there, and one of the many things that they participated in, and a great honor for them, was to sing the national anthem at an Arizona Diamondbacks game last Saturday mm-hmm. night. And thanks to Dale Witte for providing us a link to the national anthem video that's available on YouTube.
And I got it right here. Shall we play it?
I think we'd all enjoy hearing it.
Hear them sing the national anthem in front of, there must, I think it was opening day or opening night, so there must have been, you know, 40, 50,000 people that our Wells kids sang the national anthem for. So let me see if I can cue this up.
Hats
cool,
off to
huh?
them.
Absolutely. We'll put a link to that in the show notes, too. But as of right this moment, 1,129 views. So go out there and add to that. Nicely done. Great great experience for those kids, I'm sure. Wow.
Well, it's time to talk next week, I believe, Mark.
I think so. We've probably prattled on long enough. We're going to return to your favorite book, Sally, next week, The Hidden Power of Electronic Culture by Shane Hipps. The chapter that we're on is chapter 6, for those of you following along at home, Community in Electronic culture. So it's Book Week next week, so tune in then. Finally, we'll come to the musical conclusion of our show, and we actually had a voicemail this week. We're really happy that we had, I don't know if this is our first voicemail via Google Voice. We've had a number of them via our Skype line before, but since we've switched to Google Voice, I don't remember if we've had one of these, and it was kind of cool, Sally.
Yeah, it was. Google Voice actually does translation for you. So you listen to this voicemail, Wells Tech listeners, and you can visualize how Google Voice might have translated this. It was kind of a good way to start our day with a laugh with the translation that we got of this.
Not of the voicemail itself, because I think this is really timely as well. And who is the voicemail from?
It is from Steve Brown, who's a member at Messiah in South Windsor, Connecticut, and also a lay member who's very interested in doing worship well. Steve mm-hmm. actually is a blogger, and his blog is called Worship Ideas You Can Use, and he actually wanted to point us to a blog post he did related to the artist that we're going to be playing on today's podcast.
So I'm going to play the voicemail and jump right into the song of the week, which is from Michael Schrader, his song That's My King from his album Worship. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Hello, Martin and Sally. This is Steve Brown from Messiah Lutheran Church, located in South Windsor, Connecticut. I'm calling to thank you for introducing your listeners to some of the great musical artists in our synod. And I'm referring specifically to how you close each show with a musical piece. As a result of this, I've become a fan of some of our artists, people like Koine, Tracy Fedke, Michael Schrader, Mike Wessendorf, and Stephen Bautista. And I've recently had the opportunity to listen to Michael Schrader's latest CD, which is called Worship. And I thought that your listeners might want to know that not only is this music all biblically based, but Michael has provided in this double CD set a companion CD that contains PowerPoint charts of all his lyrics, and he's included musical backing tracks for each of the songs on the CD. So your listeners can actually use this resource in their churches. You know, if they've been thinking about trying some PowerPoint lyric projection and singing to a professionally mixed accompaniment. And there's music in this CD for everyone. Michael has included both hymns and contemporary pieces. I did a thorough review of the CD, and I have some hints on how to use the PowerPoint charts in worship at my blog site should your listeners need any help. So once again, thanks for sharing your knowledge with the rest of us. It's been a blessing to my ministry. Bye now.
In your sacrifice. child of mine. That's my God, that's my King, that's my Savior, my everything. Well, now I'll give glory, I will sing, yeah. That's my Father, my God, and my King. There'll be no tears one day, for your love wipes them away. For by grace through faith in you I'm saved. That's my God, that's my King, that's my Savior, my everything. Well, now I'll give glory, I will sing, yeah. That's my Father, my God, and my, that's my God, that's my King, that's my Savior, my everything. Well, now I'll give glory, I will sing, yeah.